Welcome to another Carlin and Lane Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, a couple of shows ago, we spoke about the new Central District coach, Jeff Andrews.
We did, and this is exciting news because this is a big thing, really, for our area and Central's especially, because it's a big change, isn't it? And yep. We're lucky enough to actually have the man we spoke about sitting with us tonight.
Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks, Sean. Good to be here.
Now, just to get the show started, tell us a little bit about your journey in football, which led to coaching Central District.
Yeah, look, it started, I was a passionate but not very gifted local footballer and grew up in the region of Sunbury in Victoria. So I didn't start playing until a little bit later in life, but just loved the team environment. So I played around the Sunbury area, played for Gisborne and Darley, a couple of clubs, and unfortunately I was struck down by a back injury in my early to mid sorry, my mid 20s, and it was severe enough that I couldn't play another game again. So that led me to down the coaching path. I wanted to stay involved in footy, and applied for a few jobs and got my first job, and I was hooked. Loved it. A couple of years coaching Macedon in what was the Riddle League then, led to an involvement for a year in the VFL as an assistant coach, which led to the talent pathway in Melbourne, which is the Calder Cannons. So I had a couple of stints at the Calder Cannons and really just loved coaching. I was on the path to coach at the highest level that I could. But started a business for myself, which was horse racing. Unfortunately, horse racing and footy were on weekends, so something had to give, and the business sort of developed to the stage where I needed to give it some time and attention. So coaching was put on the back burner for a few years. It was still what I loved to do, but once I'd created the time to get back into coaching, I went back to my old club, Macedon. I think I felt like I had a bit of unfinished business there, and they'd come out of recess, so they'd really struggled for a few years. So I went back and helped them for a couple of years, and the coaching bug was well and truly reignited, and that saw me at Werribee for the last couple of years. So a few stints at state league footy, but just loved the level and the involvement.
So just to jump back, the Macedon Football Club, where you went back to, actually you took them to a premiership. After a fairly big drought?
41 years.
Yeah, there was 41 years. There was a hiatus of a couple of years in there where they went into recession. So they came back, they built club rooms and sort of built the juniors and did it the hard way. There was quite a few 200-point floggings in the process back to being competitive again. And yeah, we did. We were lucky enough to win a flag in 2017. And it was the culmination of a lot of work and effort for a lot of people. And that was a pretty proud day.
And the Calder Cannons, like people maybe listening here in Adelaide wouldn't necessarily know is it the TAC Cup? Is it still called that, or has that changed?
It's called the NAB League now, but it certainly was the TAC Cup.
Well, that's an under 18 competition.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's a little bit different to over here in that there's no senior club attachment, so the players get identified. And similarly to they do here, but they go into the talent pathway. And that doesn't lead to a VFL club at the end of it. There's just the under 18 system, and from that they're picked into their state squads, etc. But there's a grand final for the what is now the NAB League. But at the end of it, you're drafted or you're not, and you end up at a.
That's what I was supposed to make the quality of that competition. I mean, when we're seeing the draft and we're seeing those young guys, we often see the clubs that they're linked to, and obviously that level of competition over there, you're working with the best young footballers in the country.
Absolutely. Look, a couple that the Adelaide listeners here would be well aware of that I worked with was Brent Riley and Richie Douglas, who had obviously stellar careers at the Crows. So it is the elite talent pathway in Melbourne, a lot bigger state in terms of numbers playing that system than there is over here. But it's a great, the best kids are playing, you know, at the best level, and they're not able to play senior footy. So they're playing at that level, and then they go to the carnivals and they're picked in their state sides, and the Vic Metro, Vic Country is where I guess the majority of the kids that go on to be drafted come from.
Now, last season you were working with Mark Williams, and when he was with the AFL club, he quite often tried to seek out Roy Laird to join him, which makes it a coincidence that you worked with Mark before he came to Central's.
Yeah, it is a coincidence. Choco did mention when he knew that I was in the running for the job that he'd had a few cracks at getting Roy. Choco's not averse to getting anybody that can help him. And, yeah, he said he went after Roy a couple of times but couldn't get him across the line. Obviously, seven premierships. I think everybody in Australia would come knocking on your door if they thought you could bring some of that magic with you.
So, what was the lure to come here to Central District? What is it that made you think, "Gee, this is a job for me"?
I love the tribal passionate supporter of the SANFL supporters. It's we don't have that for the VFL teams in Melbourne. Quite a few of the VFL teams have gone down the path of alignment with AFL clubs, decided it's not for them and gone back to stand alone and probably lost a lot of supporters in the process. It's the obviously the quality of the football. The working with the players, either the players are still wanting to get drafted so they've still got that burning desire, or it's just to play at the highest level possible. And working with those guys to help them achieve their goals is really rewarding. So that was the, having been an assistant at the level for quite a few years, it was just the desire to get involved and run my own program. And been applying for jobs around Australia, so Perth and South Australia. And I guess Central's with the, you know, with Roy's success, following on from Alistair Clarkson, they were willing to look at blokes that didn't have necessarily AFL playing resumes, but just looked at the quality of hopefully my coaching resume. So once I did my research, I was really excited about the opportunity with Central's to come to such a successful and well-run and established club.
Coming in on the, and I don't want to make this a negative thing because I think it's a really positive opportunity, but coming in on the heels of Roy, who's been like at the club for such a long time and had so much success, is that, how do you think that's going to make a difficult pathway for you? I mean, what do you think people's expectations might be of you coming into the new role?
Look, the way I look at it, which might be different to other people, but I look at it that he's built a really great foundation. And sustainable success is built on strong foundations. And obviously that's to do with culture and standards. And you walk into the place and everybody that I've met, you know, regardless of their, you know, the roles that they play has been welcoming. The players, I've got my new office situated in the gym where the players walk past me every day, and there's players there coming in, there's players, you know, doing gym sessions every day, so they're really passionate and driven. So I think it's a great opportunity for, I'm part of the next chapter. Roy, nobody's going to support, you know, nobody's winning seven premierships in 9 years, but, I'm looking forward to the opportunity and building on the foundation that's been laid by Roy and by the committee. They've obviously done a really good job to get the club into the state that it's in, the facility they've got, the social club, etc. So that gives us a great foundation to head back north on the ladder.
Now, I was going to ask, because I was looking at the VFL, and I sort of, growing up when it was VFL and SANFL, you're sort of familiar with the normal VFL clubs, but when I was doing a little bit of looking at, okay, I knew you're from Werribee and how that fitted into the VFL, I didn't realise there were so many clubs, and some clubs are obviously associated with AFL teams and others aren't. And so I just wanted to get a little bit of information for us, for the people listening, about how the VFL comp works, maybe, and is it a little bit different than the SANFL?
I think it's a little bit different in that it's basically the old VFA in Melbourne became the VFL, and the old VFL became the AFL. So those clubs became the foundation AFL members. There's a couple of clubs, Sandringham and Box Hill, for instance, that are... They're not standalone clubs, but they've got a merger with an AFL club. So Sandringham merged with St Kilda, and the other one, Box Hill, is merged with Hawthorn. So, you know, all of the players that don't play at Hawthorn in any week will take the first 12 to 15 spots at Box Hill, and then they'll have their VFL-listed players that will take up the remaining spots. And I guess that's similar to the Crows and the Power here. Having said that, there are the other clubs, the other AFL clubs in Melbourne, Collingwood, Essendon, Footscray, etc., that basically just have their own VFL team. So that's not an historical VFA club like Box Hill. Werribee was aligned to North Melbourne until the end of 2017, and then they decided to go it alone. They wanted to be a standalone club, and there's five standalone clubs, Frankston, Coburg, Port Melbourne, Williamstown, and now Werribee. Now Williamstown and Port Melbourne played off in the prelim final. And Williamstown and Richmond, who had their own VFL team, played off in the grand final. So there's the ability to be successful with your own VFL team if you're an AFL club, or the standalone clubs are certainly, Williamstown's played in 10 prelim finals in a row, so they certainly do things very well and are successful as a standalone club.
From when the Crows entered the AFL in 1991 and then the Port Power in 1997, the original concept was players would go back to their original SANFL clubs plus ones that came from interstate were drafted on a system like that. So it sort of helped the SNFL teams sort of when they played each other, they had these players coming back, whereas other people saw it as a negative because it unsettled the team. What do you think would have been the better system, that system or the current system where they all go to the reserve team for Port and the Crows?
You know, I know the thinking of the Port and the Crows having their own players because they can control where they play. To be fair, it's probably less about the win on the day than it is the development of the players and the positions that they play in. So I understand the AFL clubs needing to have that control. It's obviously great for the state of footy, but hard to plan as a coach of centrals if we've got blokes coming back from Adelaide and Port and, you know, we'd like to play them in the positions that gives us the best chance of winning and their coaches want them played in different positions that are best for their development. So that's a real balancing act. So I see it as Port and Adelaide getting the best of what they need and us standalone SANFL clubs being able to do what we do, which is strive for success.
So you're coming into the competition fully aware of the whole scenario, so it's not going to be a handicap for you because you're coming in, you're coaching centrals as a standalone club. So everything that happens is going to happen under your guard, which is, I suppose, the best thing about coaching.
Absolutely. You want to be in control of your own destiny. And you know, you want to be able to pick the players that, in the spots that give you the best chance for success. And we're also about developing our own players. So, you know, we want to be picking players that in spots where they can develop into A quality SANFL players or hopefully get drafted.
I was going to ask you that question because I know looking at your coaching history and some of your involvement in the younger stuff, obviously you've had a big role in developing players into high-level players. And so I was going to ask you that question about here at Centrals. I mean, do you see that obviously you can use that ability to bring on the young players from the region, or do you think like there'll be a sort of combination of experienced players and developing players coming through?
I think every team's got a good combination, or the best teams have that good combination of age and youth. But we'll be looking for all of our players, regardless of their age profile, to be wanting to improve. We need them to improve, whether it's 5%, and we want to see what they're good at, and we want to develop the young players from the region. So development, whether it's part of a senior team that's trying to win a SNFL flag or a under 18 team in the NAD League, it's still about individual player development, which is going to help in the team development. So that's a big focus of mine. It's something I'm passionate about. It's something that I get real satisfaction out in coaching, which is seeing players achieve what they're after out of footy, which is I guess essentially our number one job with winning premierships.
What about on the recruiting scene? What's in the pipeline as far as that's concerned?
Oh, look, we're no different to any other state league club out there. We're trying to find the best available talent. There's a real unknown until the draft happens because the good players in other state leagues that we'd love to get across to help us improve, they're waiting really to see what happens until the draft. And the guys who've been delisted off AFL lists that are after their second opportunity, they're not really going to commit anywhere until they find out whether their lifeline to the AFL has been revived. So we're talking to as many players as we can that we think will help us. And then once we know where we stand with who's been given a lifeline and who hasn't, then I suppose that's when all the chips fall and you really find out who's able to come.
So what's your vision for 2020 at this stage?
Look, the vision is we want to improve straight away. We want to be climbing the ladder again. Everybody's in it to win silverware and we're no different. And 2020 is about creating the foundation to win our next piece of silverware. So we know from where we finished last year, or I know from where we finished last year, we have to improve. And I've worked in a lot in team defence in my last couple of coaching stints. So I definitely want us to be better defensively. It's an old adage, but it's really true that defence wins premierships. So if we can improve defensively quickly, that'll help us jump up and give us a good platform to build on.
We see coaches, I mean, we see them talking to the media, we'll see them at game day, and we might see a catch after, you know, from the media after training. But what's the normal week? Like, what's your week like as a coach? Because I imagine people think, I mean, in the good old days, if they think of their own team, coach rocks up to training and rocks up to the game. But a modern day coach at this level, I mean, what's your week like?
Well, I'm 1 week into the job, so the plan for the week, so in season, the plan for the week is weekends are nuts. So we play our game, which is a full day, and then there's the coding of the game, which is watching the vision and making sure that the vision that the players are about to see in the upcoming week, be it individual or team, is going to help them improve. So that's so the weekends are basically a write-off. Monday at the club is meetings with medical staff, meetings with trainers, try to meet with every single player on the list at least for a couple of minutes to have a discussion about their game. So they'll have had some feedback from me about how they've gone. So, and then Monday's our review and recovery night. So that leads us into Tuesday, which is a day off for the players. And then Wednesday, they're back for our main training session of the week. Wednesday's our first session where we're looking at the opposition, the upcoming opposition. So Tuesday's been a bit of work on the upcoming opposition, meeting with those people in those roles so that we can then plan out the training session and train accordingly on our big main session for the week. Thursday night is our captain's run, touch, meal with the boys and the final selection of the side. And then hopefully half a Friday afternoon might be off.
Well, look, that's very interesting interview today, Jeff. We hope to have you again on the show sort of maybe when the season starts.
I was going to say thank you for coming in and talking on our little podcast and wish you all the best of luck. I hope that everyone in the northern suburbs gets behind the Doggies this year and gets behind you, Jeff, and have a great year.
Thanks, Sean. Thanks, Rob. I'm really looking forward to everybody getting on board. It'd be great if we could get a few extra members down there and supporting the old red, white and blue.
So into another Carlin Low Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.